In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Today the church celebrates the feast of the beautiful and righteous Saint Verena, who is the patron saint of our church. And to tell you quite honestly, we don't give enough credit in our daily liturgical services to the female saints of our church and to the contribution that they have given to the overall growth and spirituality of the people at large. So today we want to focus and meditate on the life of Saint Verena. And this is the second session of a two-part mini-series that we started last night in the Vespers, meditating on her beautiful life. Yesterday, we spoke briefly about three points from her life, learning from the life of Saint Verena, and we called the meditation Basic Christianity. Saint Verena showed us what it means to live as basic Christians, some of the tenets, some of the virtues that you and I must acquire in our lives in order to be worthy to be called Christians. We meditated on the subject of being sojourners in the world, that our homeland is really not here on earth, but it is ultimately in heaven. And this is the place that we all look forward to receive and acquire. Even though she was a simple girl born in Upper Egypt, but she joined the Theban Legion and traveled to Europe as a command from Emperor Maximian to go and fight the infidels, and he asked them also to fight some Christians, but the Legion refused. They were all martyred, but she was not. But she remained in Europe to minister to God. She didn't seek to go back to her homeland. She stayed in Italy, then at France, and then finally she settled in Switzerland. So her homeland was not any particular spot on the face of the earth, but her homeland is in heaven. And every place that she was asked to go to, she was able to witness. We also meditated last night on how to have a balanced spiritual life. She balanced between the life of solitude and a life of meditation and also the life of service. She didn't go to one extreme. She had her quiet times with God, but she also dedicated certain times to go and serve the poor and be able to be with those who are sick. And last but not least, last night we talked about how to be a true Copt. Saint Verena showed us a model on how to be a true Copt, and we used the word Copt as an acronym for four words. She taught the Swiss people or the Europeans cleanliness. This is what they know her for: mercy, cleanliness, and teaching them Christianity. So C stands for cleanliness, O stands for organization or being organized, E stands for punctuality, and T stands for temperance. And we said this is a true model for our Christian life on how to be clean in everything that we do, physically when we come to church, spiritually through confession, after we leave church, leaving it in order, just like the way we saw it when we first came. We said that at oftentimes when we leave church, we find that it is almost a disaster area. After the kids leave and after the congregation leaves and garbage is everywhere and disorder everywhere. But Saint Verena taught us how to be clean, how to be organized, how to be punctual, to come on time. Right? We spoke about all these things yesterday, and we said it's a good show of our Christian life. When there is a meeting, we are there on time. When there is a liturgy, we know exactly what time the service starts, and we don't miss any part of it. Just like we do with work, we have to be there on time and leave on time also. And also temperate, meaning having good self-control in everything that we do. Today I want to show you the tomb where Saint Verena is buried and the church where she is buried in a city called Bad Zurzach. And Bad Zurzach is not an English word, so don't think bad meaning it's a bad place to be. It is not an English word, but this is the name of the city in Switzerland where she is buried, and this is her tomb right here, and this is the cathedral where she is buried. Maybe one day, God willing, we can have a congregation trip to go visit there in Switzerland, as well as the city of Saint Maurice in France, both of them to take their blessing. And these are just some icons that are known for Saint Verena. This is a 16th century icon that is known in the Catholic Church. And it's called Saint Verena the Merciful, or of Mercy. Because you see in it that she is washing the head of a little child. And also here she is feeding the poor and the needy, and they're all coming to her for help. So she lived, after she settled down in Switzerland, she lived as a hermit in solitude in order to pray and worship God. But she didn't just enclose herself in a little cell, but she was able to help anyone who came to her seeking help. The icons of Saint Verena would have always two things in her hand. One of them is a comb and the other is a jar. And this is also the icon that we have here in the church. She always has a comb and a jar, because again, the Swiss people say that she has taught them cleanliness and Christianity by caring for the orphans and the children and the poor. She taught them good hygiene, and she also taught them the Christian tenets and the faith. The second part of our series, which we are discussing today, is that not only did Saint Verena give us the basic tenets of our Christian faith, but she actually went the second mile, going further. Quite often we are just satisfied at the status quo. This is what I've always done. This is how I always behave. This is how many times I read the Bible. This is how I've always gone to church once a month. I've never gone to a retreat. I've never served. And I'm happy the way that I am. But Saint Verena challenged our faith, is that she showed us that we shouldn't be just satisfied with the ordinary, but we should look at the extraordinary. How to go the second mile, how to go a little bit further. So the title of our discussion and meditation this morning is Going the Second Mile, and it is based on the verse from Matthew 5:41. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. So we're going to discuss the prayer life, going the second mile in our prayer life, going the second mile in serving the poor and the sick, and going the second mile in suffering for Christ. Take the little children, please. Let us start with our prayer life. A story goes and is known of a man who found an eagle's egg and put it in a nest of a barnyard hen. So it's an eagle's egg, and it was placed in a barnyard of chickens. The eagle hatched with the brood of chicks and grew up with them. All his life the eagle did what the barnyard chicks did, thinking he was a barnyard chicken. He scratched the earth for worms and insects, he clucked and cackled, and he would thrash his wings and fly a few feet in the air. When years passed and the eagle grew very old, one day he saw a magnificent bird above him in the cloudless sky. He glided in graceful majesty among powerful wind currents, with scarcely a beat of its strong golden wings. The old eagle looked up in awe. "Who's that?" he asked. "That's an eagle, the king of the birds," said his neighbor. "He belongs to the sky. We belong to the earth. We're chickens." So the eagle lived and died a chicken, for that's what he thought he was. It's a little bit of a funny but sad story. of an eagle living the life of a chicken. He always thought of himself as a chicken. He hatched among chickens, he lived amongst chickens, he did what the chickens did, going out to search. But one day, looking up in the sky and seeing an eagle and not having a mirror to recognize that this is who he is an eagle, and he was meant to soar up high in the sky. And in many instances, this is you and I. We never realize the life that God has meant us to live. We think that we are earthly creatures. We just want to live day by day as, you know, events and circumstances bring our way, dealing with everyday life issues and problems and just barely getting through, but never thinking of the extraordinary, never thinking of how we were meant to live as kings and queens and children of the King of Kings, who is our Heavenly Father. This is the calling that we are called to have, an extraordinary life, going the second mile in everything that we do. Saint Verena, after the Theban Legion was martyred and she settled in Switzerland, she enclosed herself and dedicated her life for prayer and for service. It is very important that we don't become lukewarm. And this is something that hits us quite often. We don't know what to pray, we don't know how to pray. But Saint Verena found a time and dedicated most of it to prayers, to meditate on the love of God and to the strength that He gave her at all times. Let me give you some ideas about prayer. Many of us don't know that we have in the church not only church fathers but church mothers. So one of the beautiful church mothers, she is called Emma Sarah, she spoke quite extensively about prayer. And let me give you some quotations from what she said. It was related of Emma Sarah that for 13 years she waged warfare against fornication. She never prayed that the warfare should cease, but she said, "O God, give me strength." The first lesson we learned from Emma Sarah, that she prayed to God to give her strength at all times. Once the same spirit of fornication attacked her, reminded her of the vanities of the world, but she gave herself up to the fear of God and to asceticism, and went up onto her little terrace to pray. Then the spirit of fornication reminded her and said, "Sarah, you have overcome me." But she said, "It is not I who have overcome you, but my Master Christ." So relating all the victories in our life in prayer and laying them in front of the throne of our Heavenly Father. Emma Sarah said, "If I prayed God that all men should approve of my conduct, I should find myself a penitent at the door of each one, but I shall rather pray that my heart may be pure towards all." So Emma Sarah, who is a great desert mother, give us a few lessons in prayer. Also, some people, we took a whole series about prayer. It's still ongoing. It's almost at its end. And we can go back to hear it on the church website. But here is just another hint when we are praying, going the second mile in our prayer, just like the example of Saint Verena. Use your hand as a symbol to remind us of what we need to pray for. It is not inclusive, but it gives us a good idea. When we pray first, we put our hands together in front of us and we keep our eyes open. So we'll notice that the closest finger to us is the thumb. And since it is closest to us, the thumb reminds us to pray for those who are closest to us, praying for parents and praying for brothers and sisters and anyone who might be very dear to us. The second finger reminds us of, it is called the index finger, and it is used for pointing. And this finger could be a reminder to us to pray for those who direct us in the right path, to pray for teachers at school, Sunday school teachers, or abuna, or anyone who may help us in our spiritual growth. Then the next finger is the tallest finger, and this finger reminds us to pray for all the leaders, praying for the prime minister of the land, or praying for those who are in the government who make the rules, and those who are leaders in our municipalities, etc. The fourth finger is called the ring finger, and we know that this is the weakest of all the fingers, and we can ask anyone who plays the piano. And this reminds us to pray for those who are sick, just like Saint Verena has done, those who are less fortunate or the disenfranchised or those enfranchised or those who are left out. And then finally the smallest finger, as the Bible says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. This finger could remind us to pray for our own needs or our own requests. Going the second mile in our prayer life is something that Saint Verena has taught us. Secondly, she taught us an amazing example in serving the poor and the sick. God showed us over and over in the Holy Scriptures that He cares for the less fortunate and those who are pushed away from mainstream society. And many people remember, you know, Mother Teresa and amongst many of the saints. And Saint Verena was a 4th century Mother Teresa. In the way that she cared for the lepers, in the way that she chose the hardest chores in order to go out of the way to help the poor. In the Gospel of Saint Luke, chapter 4, our Lord Jesus reminds us that He has special care for those of every race and culture and nation, regardless of their faith. It doesn't matter what people believe in. Humanitarian work and the love of God goes beyond any boundaries that are set aside by culture or by any religion. Our Lord Jesus reminded the Jews in Luke 14, 25 to 27 and said, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But one of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. A few things were against this woman. First of all, she was a Gentile, she was not a Jew, and God cared for her. She was a widow. No one from any human beings wants to care for her. God Himself sent her Elijah, and He didn't send him to any of the Jews who were present at the time. Being a woman was a disadvantage. Being a widow was a disadvantage. Being a Gentile was definitely a huge disadvantage, but God sent her Elijah in the time of this famine, and He cared for her. Not only her, but and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Again, Naaman the Syrian was a Gentile, and he was a leper. And being a leper means everyone would stay away from him. He is not clean, he is defiled. God sends him Elisha to care for him. God is the God of everyone, regardless of who they are, or what socioeconomic they are, or what gender they are. Help and service and ministry, definitely we need to take such a leap in our faith, to go beyond our comfort zone to help those who are in need. St. John Chrysostom said, this is the rule of the most perfect Christianity. As we heard in the Catholic Epistle today in the liturgy, St. James tells us that if we are going to have perfect Christianity, ideal Christianity, we should keep ourselves from evil in the world and visit those and care for the widows and those who are orphans, etc. This is the rule of the most perfect Christianity. Here is the key. We always seek perfect Christianity. St. John is giving us the key here. Caring for your neighbor. Indeed, even though you fast or sleep on hard ground, or even suffer unto death, yet take no thought for your neighbor. You have done nothing great. Despite what you have done, you still stand far from this model of a perfect Christian. Caring for our neighbor or anyone else who is in need. Saint Verena indeed was a true and a living example on what it means to go the extra mile in serving those who are less fortunate and serving those who are in need. Finally, she was an ideal example in showing us that there's no problem in suffering for Christ. You and I have developed for ourselves a comfort zone. And we are very hesitant or reluctant to go beyond it. In our homes, we set the thermostat on a specific temperature, and if it's a little bit higher, warmer or cooler, we go back to adjust it. Maybe something is wrong. Our seat in the car is exactly adjusted the same way. Our computers have to be adjusted, and I do that. All of us do that. But the problem with that, and when time comes that we need to go a little bit out of our way to be witnesses to our faith, which is the whole concept of struggling or suffering for our faith, we get agitated. Someone tells us a word that is not very comforting, or a situation happens that doesn't make us very happy, and immediately we run to God and tell Him, why have you done such a miserable thing to make me so sad in my life? Someone said, don't tell God how big is your problem, but tell your problem how big is your God. God wants us to be strong in the fact that we are willing to struggle and to suffer for His sake. I love so much the verse in Acts 5, verses 40 to 42, which shows us the resilience of the apostles. How much they were willing, not only willing, but joyful in suffering for the sake of God. The verse says, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. St. Verena, as her story tells us, she was imprisoned. When she knew, when the ruler of the area that she lived in Switzerland knew that she was a Christian, at that time, of course, Europe was not yet Christian, he tortured her. And he threw her in jail. And she suffered for her faith. She went the extra mile, did not grumble, but rejoiced just like the apostles in all the trials and the tribulations that was sent her way. She didn't complain, but in a loving and a caring manner, she accepted the cross and carried it with joy. And such is a good example for you and I. In order to suffer for Christ, maybe we have to stand for honesty at work. Maybe you have to say that wrong is wrong and right is right. Maybe even sometimes we have to be laid off, or people might persecute us at school. Maybe all of our friends are cheating in their exams, but we are saying that we have to live an honest life. Maybe our friends at school are going to call us names like geek, or I don't know, whatever names they call now, and this is going to be hard for us, but we will be happy to suffer even a little bit for Christ. We're not going to be tortured like the old martyrs, but at least emotional and psychological pressure now, in some cases, is just like physical torture back in the day. We are going to hold our faith. We are not going to deny our faith, regardless of how the environment around us changes. For we will confess always that we are Christians. We are followers of our Lord Jesus, who died for our sake and offered for himself as a ransom and a sacrifice for the whole world. My beloved, our Heavenly Father is calling us today to live not just an ordinary life, but to live an extraordinary life. Time is so precious. Every moment that is gone or is wasted does not come back from our life. And this is why we need to start taking notice of every minute, every hour, every day, to make it count for something. I need to kneel down in prayer and tell him, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be, to go the extra mile, the second mile? I want to have my life count for something. I want to serve you. I want to minister to you. I want to witness to you. Not necessarily going overseas or going to lands and cultures that are far from us. Right here and right now, I want to make my life count. And believe me, the Lord will start working in you and through you. And He will make something amazing and extraordinary out of all of us. St. Verena was faithful in the little, and God made her worthy of eternal life. And this is our prayer today, for the Lord to make us true vessels for His holy name, and a pathway that His Spirit may work in us and through us May the Lord give us the blessing of this virtuous saint today and always, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.